So also you now indeed have sorrow. Out of Egypt I have called my son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I take my text this morning from St. Matthew's Gospel for the Holy Innocents. I wanted to speak to you about Egypt today, which figures so prominently in the life, the joys, the sorrows of good St. Joseph. It was in the news again early this morning on the BBC, the first report about some kind of a demonstration or another about the elections. I have the impression from current events, from past church history, and indeed from sacred scripture itself, that Egypt, which after all has the pyramids and used to draw a lot of tourists, may be a nice place to visit, but you wouldn't want to stay there. Saint Joseph, in the sixth of his seven sorrows, no sooner gets the Holy Family settled there and finds work in Egypt, then he's called back to Nazareth by that angel, the angel of his dreams. And this is his sixth sorrow, but he goes. The Old Testament patriarch Joseph, think Bible history stories, is a figure of our blessed Lord himself. Because of his wisdom, he is the father's favorite. He is the object of the hatred and the envy of his brethren who cast him into a pit. Think of our Lord in the dungeon, Holy Thursday night. He is betrayed for 20 pieces of silver sold into slavery in Egypt. But also the Old Testament figure prefigures our Lord's legal father, Saint Joseph, in his purity, in his trustworthiness. Pharaoh found it so, and he put him in charge of the grain for the years of famine. And God found it so, and he put Saint Joseph in charge of the very bread of life itself, our blessed Lord, resting secure in his arms. The Old Testament Joseph's family eventually all joined him there in Egypt to find food in that time of famine, and their descendants in time were enslaved in Egypt. You know, this is what big government socialism always does. Think that communist Chavez, dictator of Venezuela. He feeds his people subsidized bread if they don't mind a long wait in line every morning. But socialism enslaves you too. But that would not do for God's chosen people. And in due time, they are by Moses called out. It is the Exodus. They cross the desert and the Red Sea, and they pass over into the Promised Land. Centuries later, after Pentecost, one of the disciples who wrote the second gospel, Saint Mark, he goes back to Egypt to preach there. He becomes a patriarch, which now means a great bishop of Alexandria, the port city. And he founded a church which thrived for centuries and gave the church so many monks and great saints until it was done in by heresy, the heresy of the Monophysites. God punished the Egyptians a second time by permitting the invasion of the Mohammedans. Both of these heresies denied that God could or would become a man with all that the incarnation entails, a family, a legal father, a baby, as we have in the epistle, carried in the womb, fed at the breast, and all of the rest. This twofold heresy made God call his son St. Mark out of Egypt long after his death. His relics still reposed there. But then there came two Venetian merchants on a mission. They were inspired. They smuggled his relics out of the country to their own land, hidden in a crate of pork, because they knew the Mohammedans considered pork to be unclean, and they wouldn't even touch it. So they put his relics right in the middle, and they got them out safely. Finally, current events. The Arab Spring, with all of its demonstrations across that wide swath of land and promise of elections, a bit like all of our American invasions, end up doing nothing for the poor Christians who are left. They're called the Copts, some 10% of the Egyptian population. In spite of their heresy, they do love the Blessed Mother very much, and they have suffered for their faith enormously. But if they are to survive, God calls them too out of Egypt. Why does Egypt draw us so? And why is it so hard for us to leave the old life, the slavery of sin? We make that little trip to the confessional. Father Larrabee's little green light is on as I speak. And we get ourselves absolved. What's the attraction? Why do we keep on going back? Well, St. Peter in the Sunday Mass epistle, St. Peter exhorts us, behave yourself, he says, as though you were strangers and pilgrims in the land, not timesharers in some Egyptian condo. Refrain yourselves from carnal desires which war against the soul, crying liberty, but it's just a cloak for malice. These carnal desires are strong enough to make us want to weekend in Egypt on a regular basis. And that's the reason why so many never make it back to Nazareth for Sunday Mass. Or even if we do, we wonder, as we're tempted to wonder, why? Why are we the ones who are, it's our Lord's words, lamenting and weeping while the world is rejoicing? And we wonder, what's wrong with this situation? Am I indeed in the wrong church? Or at least the wrong pew? Must we ever be out of step with pretty near everyone in society, as well as the society? They're all heading to holiday in Egypt. The roads are jammed, like the time of a hurricane evacuation. We're the only ones on the other side of the road. We're driving in the opposite direction, and people are looking at us. What's the matter with you? We've got the road, though, all to ourselves. They're a little bit like the way they say Frenchmen go on vacation. They all go on vacation at the same time in August, and they all go to the same place, and they all do pretty much the same thing once they get there, and they all travel in the same little French cars. Why is it that we must be so out of step with society? If it is so, then if we are to be at that price Catholics today, how much we need our patron, that great protector, Saint Joseph. He got the Holy Family out of Egypt all by himself, and he'll get you all by yourself or with your close family, home again to Nazareth. Saint Joseph, the man of dreams, you'll need him, lest yours become a nightmare. And once home, well, that's Nazareth. The word means the flower of Galilee, and those who lived there were called Nazarites, but it had a second meaning. It meant a Nazarite, someone who was consecrated to God and set apart for his service. And that's a description not just of priests and nuns, but of every single member of the Catholic Church. I freely admit this business of getting out of Egypt is a long procedure. It's a long trip. The Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years. We've been wandering for 50 years. Come October, the end of the 50th anniversary then of Vatican II. And of course, we grow weary. We grow weary with the fighting. And we go weary with the struggle. And sometimes, like the Israelites of old, we yearn for the flesh pots of Egypt. There's a remarkable verse in the book of Numbers about how they used to feel and how we sometimes feel. For a mixed multitude of people that came up with them burned with desire, sitting and weeping and saying, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt, free of cost. The cucumbers come to our mind, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. Our soul is dry. Our eyes behold nothing but manna." Manna, of course, that light, white, heavenly bread means the Blessed Sacrament. They say that those in the Pius X Society who want to join the modern church are the younger priests. They're the one who are itching to buy that one-way ticket to Egypt. And of course, they never knew the slavery of sacrilege and of false doctrine in the new church. And now the neocons dress it up and make it look so good, and the cucumbers, I suppose, are always greener on the other side of the fence. They never knew, the younger ones, the struggle of the Exodus, leaving everything behind and wandering, fed only by the manna of the Mass. From Holiday Inn to private home to public school gym to the Montgomery Businessmen's Club, Sharonville Presbyterian Church bought for our little congregation almost miraculously by one generous member, and Westchester's splendid spread of a campus built by the sacrifices of many and the loving legacies of a few, whose mortar has been watered by tears these years, and whose walls were meant to be torn down almost as soon as they went up, only they stood until the storms passed. Well, that's our story. And St. Joseph that way got us out of Egypt and into the Nazareth home. Every group and every chapel has its own tale, but St. Joseph is always a part of it. And with his help, they'll avoid the round trip back to Egypt again. The older priests in the Pius X, they remember, they lived this, and through the theological fog of confused thinking, they know, as did Archbishop Lefebvre, that something would be wrong about joining up even Dr. Ratzinger's Latin Mass sideshow. Those of you who are old enough to remember the Exodus, and you're local, will remember to Mount Adams and the Passionist Fathers who used to be there at Holy Cross Monastery. And that was the church for the Irish, and the Germans had Immaculata. It's better to keep them apart. And in the decade of the changes, they closed down the monastery and put up all of its contents for sale. Yesterday was the feast day of the founder of that order, St. Paul of the Cross, in 1725. The men wore black and they didn't wear shoes, and they got up at midnight every night to chant their matins and to meditate and preach only the passion of Christ crucified. There was an article in the New York paper the other day about the New York province of the Passionists and what's become of them. They started the decade of the changes, the 60s, with 630 members. Today, they are down to 144, and their average age, 78. No one knocks at the door anymore to ask for admittance, and they say that in their monasteries, there are almost as many wheelchairs as there are crucifixes. So they got together and they said, well, we have to do something. What are we going to do? So they decided they should use their remaining money to broadcast more Novus Ordo Masses on cable TV. And then someone, one of the young priests, he's 52, someone got the bright idea they should invest in a Broadway musical. And so they did. The musical is called Leap of Faith. It was written by three Jews and an atheist, and they put up $50,000 of their money, and it was reviewed in the Times just this past Friday, and it was panned as a terrible production, kind of a black hole, one man called it. It sucks the energy out of anyone that got near it, a bit like the Novus Ordo itself. But we've made it out. You and I, we're at least on the way to Nazareth, because God has called us out of Egypt, hasn't he? Let's call upon Saint Joseph to get us and keep us home safe at Nazareth. Catholics, consecrated, set apart, safe with Jesus and with Mary. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.